Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming out on a nice, crisp, beautiful fall day. Hope everyone is staying warm. Welcome to our panel, which is You Got This, to talk with Sheree and Maria about their new middle grade graphic novels, Not for Nothing. You want to hold up your book?
Oh, yeah. So I have it in my hand.
Which is the fourth book in the Nat series, and Curlfriends, New in Town, which is the first book in the Curlfriend series. And we'll talk more about the upcoming series with that in a bit. But do you guys want to start us off with just a quick summary of what your books are about?
Sure. Want to go first?
Sure. So, like you said, this is the first in a series. So it's called Curlfriends, New in Town. Each book will be told from the perspective of one of the four girls in this friend group. So the first book is about Charlie, who has moved around a lot because her dad is in the military. But now he's retired, and they've moved back to the town that he and his wife grew up in so they could raise Charlie there just in time for her first day of middle school. But a little late because it's 3 weeks after the first day of school started. So all summer she's been planning on how to recreate herself through fashion and, you know, be cool so that she can make friends. And things don't go as planned, but luckily she meets these four girls who kind of help her and take her under their wing, but she still kind of gets in her way a lot. So that's the story of her becoming friends with the rest of the girlfriends.
So Nat for Nothing, the main character here is Natalie. So all the books have the pun. This is the first book in the series, Nat Enough. The second book is Forget Me Not. Absolutely Nat. And then this is Nat for Nothing. And then in the spring is All is Nat Lost. So in this book, Natalie cannot find an activity. All her friends have things, and she cannot find the thing she wants to do. And she loves making comics, but there really isn't a comics club. So now she's left on her own, and it's up to her to come up with a comics club, although she has to deal with Mr. Kroger, who does not want her to have one. And I actually based Mr. Kroger on the head of the art department when I was in college, who told me cartooning wasn't art. So I promptly wrote him into the And luckily I didn't listen, although I'm super grateful for my fine arts background. But anyway, she also has to deal with, in this book, I don't know if you can see these little figures, these are doubt gremlins. So these are the voices in our head that tell us that we're not good enough or we can't. And she has to sort of move through those voices. So that's that one. And then this is the first one in the series.
Great. We can kind of start with what you were talking about, where one of the inspiration for your kind of mean principal character came from. So that was obviously inspired by someone you knew in real life. Do you guys do that a lot in your books? Do you write characters that are based on real people, or are they kind of like conglomerations of people, or based on real character, based on real things that have happened in your life?
So this novel was actually loosely inspired on my middle school life. So my father was in the Air Force. Luckily, by the time I was born, he was retired, but my older sisters did have to move around a lot. But when I went into middle school, I was separated from all my friends, even though we were in the same school. They like put us in different groups. So it was feeling like, oh, I have to like start all over again from scratch, and everyone already has these already established friend groups, which is a big part of my middle school experience. So that's why it's a big part of the main character Charlie's experience. I think she's mostly based on me. And her father is based off of my father. He was very like social while I was very, you know, introverted. So I would always feel rubbed the wrong way when he'd be like, just go talk to people. And I'd be like, how? And there's also an art teacher in here that is inspired by my sister, because she also was like a big part in me making art. So she's got purple hair, and her classroom's decorated with cats. So a lot of positive influences. I didn't put any enemies in here.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So Natalie is also based on my childhood self, but what I realized in writing the series is that the character took on a life of her own, and I actually have learned so much from her as a character. And the supporting friends. So in the first book, Natalie gets to middle school, and her best friend from second grade decides she doesn't want to be friends with her anymore. And that same thing happened to me. It's an excruciating thing. So that character's name is Lily. Lily is really sort of an amalgam of different people that I know rolled into one. So there's not one specific person that I've thrown under the bus. And her best friend, Zoe, is also an amalgam of all of sort of the positive traits of, like, my favorite friends and my favorite people. So outside of the Mr. Kroger character, they're not really based on any one specific person. It's sort of just traits from different people that I know rolled into different characters.
Great. So we talked about how...
Sorry, it's...
I know. I was like, I don't know which one of us it is.
I know, it's me. I think. Anyway.
So something I really like about these books is that they're both about friendship, but in different ways. So in Curl Friends, she's moving to a new school, and she's trying to kind of insert herself into a friend group that already exists and trying to find her place within that friend group. Whereas Nat already has friends, but she's trying to kind of explore herself outside of those friends and find something that she likes that not necessarily... her friends like. I don't know where I'm going with this. I just something that I when I was reading them, I was just like, this is so interesting because it's about these girls who are both at different stages of a friendship. And I think it's just a neat way. There was a lot to explore in friendship. And so like when you were starting your first book, Nat Enough, did you know that you were going to have a bunch of books about Nat, or did you kind of come with just like one idea where you're like, I'll write this one, and it kind of came from there, or like as you were writing it? And then same with Curl Friends, did you know as you were beginning it that it was going to be a series, I guess?
Yeah, well, I had no idea, actually. I only had this book, and then I got a two-book deal for the first two, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to come up with another one. And then 3 and 4 came along, and now I have 6. And as I'm working on it, and as I got to know the characters, I have so many more stories to tell. And it's so funny. I have not done one single school visit where I'm asked the question, or I haven't been asked the question, what is the favorite book you've written? Mm. And that's I'm really bad with favorite because I like so many things. And I have to say, I love all the books. But if I was forced to choose, I would say the first one just because it was such an adventure to figure out the world. The characters, who are they? What do they like to wear? What do they like to eat? So once I had that world and got to know the characters, more and more stories just evolved naturally from getting to know who the characters were.
So my journey was a little bit different. So I've done picture books in the past. So here's one of my picture books. Don't touch my hair. So I'm used to writing like one-off stories. But when I went to start writing a graphic novel that I wanted to pitch, I knew that I wanted to build a world that I could continue to explore. So I started out with the characters, which are the 4 characters. I didn't tell you all their names. There's Charlie, Nola, Ella, and Kara. And I knew from the beginning that I wanted to start by developing them as people and then have each book be just about putting them in situations and how these characters would react to it. So when I pitched the book, it was as a 4-book series for like each book being about a different character. And I already had the first 2 ideas solidified, and I'm still working on the other 2. But. I get to know them more and more every time I write about them.
That's so exciting because I loved reading Charlie's story, and I didn't know that the next ones would be about the other girls in the friend group. So Yes. That's just really exciting, guys.
Next one's about Nola.
Ooh. So actually, before we came on this panel, you guys were talking a little bit about your process, like whether you draw first or whether you write first. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Do you want to go first? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
So again, coming from picture books, I'm used to writing like shorter stories. So when it came to writing this longer, almost 300-page book, I was very intimidated with how I would like be able to write it completely to the end, because I've had experience writing or trying to write longer stories in like middle school and high school and like giving up halfway through. So I really wanted to, I started with an outline, and then I wrote out the whole script, and I even gave myself art notes to make sure that I was still visualizing it as I went. And then when it came time to do sketches, it kind of went through another revision process where I was editing the words and like taking out words because I knew, I was like, oh, I'm drawing how she's reacting to this, so she doesn't need to say this anymore. And then when I get to inking, I get to add, you know, the fun details of like backgrounds and what her bedroom decorations look like. And then color, you get to add even more details like the prints on their clothing. So every stage, I feel like, reinvigorates working on it because it takes so long to work on a graphic novel. You can kind of get burnt out. I also had the help of a flatter. So So that's a person that came in and like did all the flat colors for me. And then I went in and recolored it to my color palette, and I added in all like the designs and everything. But somebody else helped me a lot because I was getting very tired.
So I end up starting with this sort of doodle process. I really do a lot of thinking, just sort of writing and drawing. And in that doodle process, I figure out the story, who the characters are, and just sort of get an idea of where it's going to go. And then I also have an outline. I sort of do a 5-plot point, beginning, middle, and end, with an inciting incident and a turning point. So there's 5 plots. Now that, although, turns into sort of like when you go on a road trip, you have a roadmap, how to get from point A to point B. But I never know what's going to happen on the way or what I'm going to see. So that, it's kind of funny. It always is interesting to me how much the story ends up evolving from that. I've actually done both, where I've sketched out the whole book. Then I went and do a whole sketch of the entire book. Then I went to a script of writing it out. And then I realized for me, it just makes more sense for me to sketch out the whole book. That goes off to editors. We go back and forth. And then once that's all set, I go to inking and then coloring. And I also add, I love each phase because in each phase I get to go back, add refinements. And I always like to see how I can make things funnier. So I will go back and redraw things. Like, what can I add here? And I think some of the fun thing about graphic novels and why people love to read them over and over, every time you look, you notice something else. And I love putting little stuff in the background, little Easter eggs, things that are meaningful to me, things that are meaningful to the story. That's a really fun part of the process for me. And then finally, color. And that last pass, when you go through to like fix everything, it's like putting sprinkles on the top of a cupcake that you made. I love that part of the process.
Great. I promised that I wouldn't ask you guys like what your favorite books are, and I won't. I won't. But I am going to ask you what your favorite part of the process of writing a book is. Like, did you like one part more than other parts, or did you find some parts more difficult than other parts?
My favorite part definitely is the inking process, because a lot of the decisions have already been made, or the hard decisions. And now it's more fun decisions, like, oh, like, what is her actual hairstyle going to be? Or what is the actual style of the clothing that they're going to wear? I find sketching to be the hardest, because it's literally just like creating from nothing. It's like I just have the words, and now I have to decide, like, what angle are they coming in the door from, and like where are they going, and what does this room look like? And I have to make sure I'm remembering what everything looks like to leave a guide for myself to make it easier for when I'm inking. Like, you have to decide like what they're, because you don't want to like be drawing something and then it looks completely different the next time you see it. Like, did she completely redecorate her room?
Yeah, that's the hard, the consistency part is really difficult. Because like you're saying, if you draw a table with an apple on it or something, that has to be in the exact same position or whatever the camera angle is, it's hard to think about. So I agree, inking is one of my favorite parts because, just like you said, the tough decisions are made. And I'd say the most difficult part, sometimes when I'm developing the story, it's like putting together a jigsaw puzzle, but you don't have the pieces at all. And I've definitely hit walls where I have no idea where a story's going. And in those cases, sometimes I actually have done things where I'll take sticky notes and put them on a wall. So I have to actually see it, like a big visual of where this story's going. And that's helped me get back to that point. Sometimes I go right back to pencil on paper to get past that. But that for me is the most challenging. And like I was mentioning before, that last pass, when you're handing it off, that's so gratifying and satisfying thing to just be like, okay, it's done. A year later, we're done. Or whatever.
Even when doing the sketches, and it's just like push through. It's like sometimes I would stop myself and be like, I feel like I need to rewrite this whole thing. I'm like, no, just get it all done.
Yeah.
And then you can even like take chapters and move them around and be like, yeah, I don't need this anymore. But it's so much easier once it's all sketched out.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Just get it, the whole thing out once, and then you can go back and fix it. But that is a big challenge to get the whole thing just done.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I love hearing about the process that people do, because everyone, I think, has a slightly different process. Even though you've both done graphic novels, everyone kind of comes at it in a different way. And you can kind of see that in the way, in the art style and...
And my process has changed every book. You would think that I'd have like a formula down, but every time, and I always find this amazing efficiency on like, I have 2 pages left. And I was like, oh, I could have used, so that will get carried into the next one. But Yeah, I think it evolves.
Yeah. Were you saying that your newest one here is watercolor?
The first two actually were hand-drawn in watercolor, and then I shifted to digital for the most recent ones because it was a lot. And edits were really difficult. I mean, I know that there's many graphic novels, but I think character consistency specifically got challenging.
Yeah. And also, when I was, like, transitioning into making graphic novels, I talked to a lot of people because, like you're saying, everyone's process is so different. And it feels really intimidating just looking at the final product on the shelf and being like, oh, these people, like, sat down and drew and wrote this whole graphic novel in one sitting. And so just hearing everybody's process just makes it all feel more doable, you know. And when you're doing things in a different way, you're not like, oh, I'm doing this wrong. It's like, oh, I have to figure out the best way that this works for me.
Exactly, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to throw some questions at you guys that I didn't tell you I was going to ask.
Oh.
Okay. when you were coming up with your ideas for these graphic novels, did you know you always wanted to write about that middle school age? Because that is such, I think, such a difficult age. And there's all these changes that are happening, and for both like in school, but then also personally in your family. So did you kind of set out thinking like, yes, I'm going to write about middle school?
Actually, it turned out, when I looked back in my files, the books, I got the contract for these books around, must have been 2018, and then they hit the shelves in 2020. But back in 2013, I found these sort of like just little vignettes that I wrote for myself about stories from my own middle school experience, but sort of through the lens of humor. So I originally thought it was going to be a prose book with spot illustrations, and then eventually I realized, I'm a cartoonist, it has to be a graphic novel. But I think for me, it was almost sort of like just a therapeutic thing to kind of go back and look at my own stories, but, you know, through humor. And I think, you know, many things in life are funny later on. They're not funny while they're happening. It was definitely not funny to be dumped by my best friend, but now I can sort of go through and look at it through a different lens. So for me, I guess it was sort of just processing these experiences I had.
Yeah. I feel like I had a similar thing where I was reading a lot of middle grade graphic novels, and it was bringing me back to when I was in middle school and making me reflect on it and thinking like, oh, I wish I had a book like this when I was in middle school that like talked about these things. But then there weren't ones that were obviously specifically talking about my experience. So I was like, oh, I also want to share my experience. And a thing that always sat with me when I was like growing up in like reading series, and there were always like four groups of girls. There was always just one black girl, and she was always just the one sassy black girl. And I'm like, why can't we just have like four black girls that are all different? Like, that's what my friend groups looked like growing up. So I was really happy that I could create this with girlfriends.
We were also talking about this before, about how a lot of graphic novels like this, they always say they're like a coming of age story. And like, what does that even mean? So did you guys set out to write a coming of age story? Or do you think that's like, what do you think that means?
I feel like coming of age is more like coming of awareness of yourself as a person, as a mother of a 2.5-year-old. I see him like coming to know himself more and more every day, and just like imagining him being like 12 and being like aware of the entire world and how like intimidating like I imagine that being, or remember that being, and then imagine it being for him, because it's like a whole different world now than when I grew up. I just feel like a lot of us developed a lot of our sense of being around that time, and that's why it's so prominent like displayed in books and resonates even when we're adults. So I feel like a lot of reflecting takes you back to that place, and you want to like share what you've learned with younger people and your younger self.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say I have no idea, but when I do think about it, I definitely think it's about figuring out who you are. And I think in especially the first Nat book, it's a story, I always say it's a story of becoming more of who you are. So it's sort of Nat figuring out who she is and who she isn't, and stopping comparing herself to, and because a lot of Nat in the first book, she thinks she's not talented or she's not athletic, and she focuses on all these things that she's not, when really what she ultimately realizes is who she is and what she loves, and sort of leans more into that. So I think for me, the coming of age is exactly what you said, of just becoming who you are and more of who you are. But I think this is a constant evolution because I keep, you know, evolving. I don't think there's ever like you get to a point and you figure it out and then you can move
we're
on.
We're always coming
of
age.
Yeah. We're all coming of age
every day.
section of our lives. So.
Every age.
Yeah, every age. I think we're going to do questions at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, we will have time for questions in just a few minutes, 5 minutes. So if you have some questions percolating in your brain, just hold on to them and you will get a chance to ask them. So something kind of fun that I love to hear authors talk about is was there anything in your books that you really loved but you had to scrap? Like ended up not making it to the last draft?
Pile about that high. Yeah, every book I think just there's so many pages that never make it in. There's so many drawings that never make it in. It's amazing, actually. I always say it's like making sandcastles. Like you spend all this time, but it's not wasted time. I mean, it's still part of the creative process. So. Mm-hmm.
My initial idea changed a few times, where there was like a bully character. There was a shoplifting incident. But then like, it morphed and changed to be more of like, Charlie ends up being her own antagonist, where like a lot of her problems that she's finding herself in are self-created. So then she kind of has to do battle with herself and her perception of how people perceive her and her perception of how she needs to be perceived. So it becomes more of like an internal battle. So I lost that, but I felt like it got to a better place.
It's still, the feeling is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, the character Flo in the books originally was sort of an antagonist. And then my editors were like, you know, I think she could be like one of her good friends. And it was this weird thing. I had to turn the whole thing upside down in my head. Mm-hmm. And once I did, I was like, oh, yeah. And so now the character, I just love Flo. And I never know what she's going to say when she shows up. She always surprises me. And I've learned so much from her. So that was kind of a cool reversal, too.
I saw the cue card there that says to start opening up to audience questions. Yeah, I'm just going to, is this working?
Your microphone.
Is it on? Hello? Okay. Yes.
Hello, thank you both so much. You both have mentioned in your answers to questions the process of getting to know your character, both your main character and your side characters and the surprises that come with that. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about, I don't know, exercises you do or what your process for getting to know the character is outside of just the straight linear script writing.
For me, it's a doodle process, and I sort of just let them talk. I just start doodling them and just like start conversations and just see what they're going to say and what they're going to do.
I had a really good... I ended up doing a really good exercise with somebody where they interviewed my character through me. So like they just like asked direct questions and I had to answer as the character without thinking it, instead of like getting caught up in like, oh, but I could write it like this or write it like that. Because I had some trouble in the beginning where I kept confusing Charlie with me and wanting to make her. I'm like, no, but that'll make her look bad, you know, instead of like separating myself from the character. So I found that exercise very useful, just like answering straight from like the first thing I thought of and then being like, oh, I didn't even think about that for her, you know.
That's cool. Yeah. I love that idea.
I see a hand over here.
Do you think that like every story needs to have like a villain or a bad guy, or can they have like no villain?
I don't think it needs to have a villain. Like in mine, she doesn't have a direct villain. I think it just needs to have a conflict or something for someone to overcome or a goal, you know, in the end. But not, it doesn't have to be like a black and white villain.
I agree. And what you said before, Nat has that same thing. Like one of Nat's biggest bullies is herself in the form of self-criticism and self-doubt. So sometimes it doesn't have to be, it can be an internal force as well as an external.
Is like the main part of your story a problem and solution or like a big detail?
Oh,
that's a good question.
I don't know how to, yeah.
I guess it's a big detail. It's not a problem solution. I know that.
Yeah.
What's a big?
Can you clarify a little more your question?
Like, what do you want to say? What do you mean by by detail. Maybe
yeah.
Like, another part of your story that's, like, not, like, the problem and solution or, like one of the big things. Just, like...
It's about a big event, you mean?
Like, yeah.
Is it more about a big event rather like, than a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's about big events. So, like, the biggest event is her moving to this new town late in the school year and feeling like she has to play catch up. So everything is in reaction to that.
Yeah, and I guess the big event, Nat's trying to solve a problem. It's finding her activity, finding what she wants to do and sort of her place in the world. So that's what she's trying to solve and not for nothing.
We had a question here.
I honestly, I'm a really big fan of like the, of how like graphic novels are because you can present stuff in your own style, stuff like that. And I also feel like I honestly enjoy the fact that like these kind, like people are able to like have like a voice, you know, be able to say what needs to be said, have like a form. I know I'm spouting gibberish, but I'm a little tired.
Did you have a question?
Yeah. Did you have some... when you were making these novels, did you feel like there was something that needed to be said?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, go. Do you want to go?
You go.
Yeah, I think that I sort of always have sort of an underlying theme through my books. So the first book's really about self-worth. And the second one's about self-love, and the third one's about doubt, fear, and the fourth one's about doubt, fifth one's about independence, and the sixth one's about believing in yourself. So I think I sort of come to the story with knowing this sort of in the background, but it's really woven into the story, so it's not right out front. So there's always something that I'm trying to say with each book.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of my themes are self-love and, you know, self-confidence. I feel like messages that we need to hear over and over and over again, starting from when we're young, and just every time we get older and older, and even in adult books. So I feel like I just continuously want to reiterate that message in different ways through different characters.
Like, when you didn't know what the characters looks like, how did you draw them?
Hmm. Well, that's a good question. Yeah, go ahead. I'll go ahead.
So I started with these characters. So I started doodling. My very, very initial first idea of the Curl Friends was to make a coloring book where it would just be four girls hanging out and being friends. So that's where I initially like designed them. And then when I was going back through my sketches, when I was thinking about making a graphic novel and thinking about characters, I found that sketch and then I revised them to make them a little older because, like, when I had them before, they were, like, little kids for, like, coloring book age. And I was like, oh, this one would be more stylish, and this one would have braids, and then, you know, this one would be taller, this one would be shorter. So it just kind of goes from having the idea and just, like, experimenting and, like, seeing people that make you think of that character and that you can, like, reference.
Yeah, I had a similar thing, too. Mine actually started out looking more like Charlie Brown and the Peanuts gang. And then my editors and I kind of talked about it, and they sort of slowly kind of stretched out to be more middle school heights because they ended up looking too young. Mm-hmm. But they were meant to be, you know, middle school age. So, oh, there she is. I was like, where'd she go?
I'm sorry.
No, it's totally fine. I couldn't see because of the easel.
Yeah, go for it.
How did you think of the names for all the characters?
Ooh.
No, I can answer Natalie. My middle name's Notarilli, and that's directly where I got Natalie. But the other characters are sort of like either personal stories to me or names that I liked or sort of a mix-up of things.
I don't know. When I name characters, I kind of just say it and then stick to it. When I like first make them up, I'm just like, her name is Charlie. Her dad's going to call her Charlie Bear. And I don't know. And they just like, I don't know. They just stick like that.
Yeah, I was just going to segue into that. We've talked about doodling and sketching.
All right.
You guys want to do some sketches for us? And if anybody else has any questions that they would like to ask, maybe we can kind of do it at the same time here. So I think we have another question here.
Answer while we draw.
Yeah.
Question.
Excuse me.
Why did you call it Curlfriends? Do they like all have curly hair or?
Yes. So it's called Curlfriends, yes, because they all have curly hair. And there's actually a line in the book where Charlie gets added to their text chain and they call the group Curlfriends. And she's like, oh, because we all have curly hair. It's cute. It's like an inside joke, but also the name of the series.
Are you guys sketching your main characters here?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. So you guys can see the process of how they do that.
Yeah. Did you guys write stories when you were in middle school or draw or both? And what did that look like? And what were the stories about?
Should I answer?
Yes.
I did. So I actually, funny, the end of the Nat book, let's see if you find it. Nat wins this, enters a book contest. And that was actually based on a real life thing for me. So I entered a book contest when I was in sixth grade and ended up going to the Capitol in Hartford. I'm trying to find her thing. Of course, I'm never going to find it now. Anyway, yes. So the answer to the question is yes. I was always writing stories and illustrating stories, even as I was like a really, really little kid. So it's something that I've sort of naturally always done. And I'm also a very visual learner. So this type of communication, oh, here she is. Here's Natalie going to do the book award. This type of the visual thing has always been something that I've done. So, yes. The answer to the question is yes.
Yes. Similarly, when I was younger, my mom loves to tell a story about how before I could write, I would dictate stories to her and make her write them down.
Oh, I love that.
And in middle school, I would actually make comics that would never end that I would share with my friends. And there was a book called The Laboratorio, which was just like, it looked like a composition book, but the pages weren't blank. And I would fill those up with comics. I read a lot of manga growing up. So it would always just be like me trying to draw on like the style of manga, teen drama stories.
I'm going to draw a Treat, who's also based on my dog, because I miss my dog, so I have to draw.
Have any more questions here? I have a question. Cherie, what's your favorite manga?
Oh, well, growing up, my favorite manga was Peach Girl, which is a very old manga. Fruits Basket is always a good one.
Yeah.
It's going to be her overall.
Treat / Toby is a dachshund. That's why he has short legs. And he will also, my dog Toby, who the character is based on, will not ever come when I call his name. That's why I got the name Treat for the book. Actually, should have just named Toby Treat. He literally will not do anything unless I say Treat.
I don't know how to phrase this. Is there a benefit to like formal art instruction for this kind of work, or you know, is it just skill plus talent? Like, what would you all recommend or?
Oh,
say?
Well, luckily there's so many comics and cartooning programs now. When I was growing up, there weren't. Hence, the fine arts teacher who said I couldn't do cartooning was an art. I'm grateful for my fine arts background, though, because, you know, figure drawing, color theory, composition, all that stuff comes into play, even though we're simplifying it down. But there are so many great programs, and also drawing other characters. I mean, I even did that in fine arts. We would take paintings and have to copy them stroke by stroke. But I think just practicing drawing other people's characters, just so you start to learn how other people make eyes and noses, and then you sort of figure out your style. So, but there's so many great things now available.
Yeah, definitely. I did go to school for illustration. I went to Pratt Institute. But I do a lot of the work that I do now, this whole book was done digitally, and I self-taught myself how to use Procreate through like online courses and stuff. So I feel like there's room for, obviously, formal education, but also there's also room for, like, if you're able to, if you have the initiative to teach yourself
totally.
A skill, you can also just do it. I like your dog.
What's Treat thinking about here?
Squirrels and bones. I mean, what else is there?
I can draw.
I'll draw a cat, too.
Yeah.
Charlie has a cat named Pierre.
I'll draw a cat, too. My cat's named Cat in the book because cats, I've discovered, don't really come when you call them at all. So that's why I named Cat. Pierre, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that. That's great. So we can both draw cats.
Pierre is based off of my cat named Pumpkin, who is very fluffy and fat.
You mentioned
cat was based off of a cat I had too. I heard half a question or something. Yeah.
You mentioned one of the softwares that, or programs you might use online to start sketching. Are there any other online tools or programs that are go-to for you as you start to create the illustrations for your graphic novels?
I also use Procreate, but I would say Photoshop for me in the end. Everything ends up in Photoshop. Do you use Photoshop
in
the end as well?
Like everything goes through Photoshop in the
even if I do it by hand, it's going to end up in Photoshop eventually. And then there's something called Clip Studio Pro, which people love. I just can't figure it out. It's so over. I don't know. It's so in depth that it's too in depth, and that's what I love about Procreate as well. It's really just simple and a really great tool.
Yes, same. When I was talking to a lot of people who were starting to do graphic novels, a lot of them were telling me that they use Clip Studio Paint. And then I was like, I'm not going to teach myself another
no way.
program to do a whole book. So
I felt the same way.
Hello?
Okay. Okay.
There we go. Okay. Sorry, that was really loud. Is there something that you read or look at just to get your inspiration? And also, what's your best time of the day to doing your creative process?
Ooh.
Okay.
You go first.
Oh, I read. I read a lot of graphic novels. I watch a lot of TV shows. I watch cartoons. I watch Bluey. I watch. I also like do a lot of like walking around and like people watching. I learned this from the pandemic that I get a lot of my inspiration just from like being outside and around people. And I was like, why do I have no ideas? I'm like, oh, because I haven't seen anybody.
Yeah, totally. You're right. Yeah.
And wait, what was the second part of your question?
What's your best time, most creative time of the day?
Most creative time of the day is probably between like 10 and 2. I drop my son off at like 8:30 and I have to pick him up at 5. So I start one. And by 2 o'clock, I take a nap and I'm like, oh, I'm tired. Because I have to have energy for when he comes home.
I get inspiration from all kinds of things. I think just sort of walking through life. I also get a lot of inspiration. I love traveling and I get a lot of inspiration. Just something about putting myself in different situations and different environments really sparks my creative brain. And I don't know, I don't know if I can pick a time where I'm most creative, but I definitely like first thing in the morning. There's something about that. And if I ever have like, sometimes I'll have insomnia and get up at like 4. There's this magical window when there's no texts, no emails, nobody to talk to. There's something nice. I don't usually get up at 4 though. So pretty much first thing in the morning for me.
Yeah, we have time for a few more questions here.
Yeah.
Here, what? You stick it there. Yeah. I'm gonna draw all their heads.
You mentioned Photoshop as opposed to Illustrator. You guys use Photoshop?
I don't use Illustrator at all for anything. I used to use it for logos a million years ago when I had a graphic design business, but I don't know about you, sorry, but I don't use Illustrator at all.
I use Illustrator to like make like bookmarks or stickers. Like it's more for like laying out stuff to be like reproduced, but like I'll do all my editing in Photoshop.
Oh, in InDesign, I build the book in InDesign too, so because I want to see the flow of the pages.
Yeah.
Speaking of flow, so ultimately.
I'm going to draw the other characters.
And Walter the Spider, whenever anybody's like, who's your favorite character to draw? Walter the Spider is literally a series of circles. There's Walter. I should do a book about Walter. I'd probably do it in like a weekend.
Yeah, go for it.
I think Walter is good. Yeah, Walter's Great Adventures or something. I think there's a story there.
All right, we have a question over here.
How did you draw the angles?
What do you mean?
Like perspective?
Like how hard was the angles? I mean like the point of view look at it?
Oh, that's hard for me. I have a really hard time with that, I'll say.
Yeah. Luckily, Procreate does have a
it has a little
a thing that a tool that helps you with the perspective. But also sometimes I just fudge it, fake it, you know. It's a graphic novel. It doesn't need to be perfect in the way that I've stylized things, so. I cheat.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
What's like your favorite graphic novel series?
Big question.
out in the world, or ones that we've done? You mean other authors? Oh.
So, yes, other works.
Okay, I'm just, El Defo by C.C. Bell is one of my favorites. It's actually not a series, but I love it. So I'm just going to say that.
I love the Best Friends series.
Oh, yeah, and
that's great, too.
It was very inspirational for me. I was like, oh.
Oh, he says he likes Nathan Hale, The Hazardous Tales. Those are great. Yeah. All right, we have another one here.
Hello.
Yep, there you go.
Like, did you, like, get the sudden urge to do them, or, like, was there, like, a reason?
For making the graphic novel?
Yeah.
I mean, it's my job.
Yeah.
So
I like that
answer.
That's
the reason.
That's a good answer.
But there's also an urge, because, you know, I was enjoying reading them, so I wanted to make one.
I think I also had stories I wanted to tell. That really was why. Also, it's my job.
All right, we have time for maybe one more question. But before that, I'm just going to remind everyone that Maria and Cherie are going to be signing their books outside of the children's room after this, where you can buy their books and get them signed and just tell them how wonderful they are and how much you appreciated their talk. Okay.
And we'll draw on your books.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe one more question. Okay.
What is the best piece of advice you can give to somebody entering middle school?
We're listening. We're middle school teachers.
I don't know. It's like everything that, it's like the stuff that you think is such a big deal isn't going to matter. Later, like you're not even going to remember the stuff that
tell
was
them
like
that. They're not going to.
Yeah, I mean the dramatic stuff. Like it turns out that you're going to be all right. I guess is what I'm trying to say. You're going to be okay.
I would say, be yourself until you find someone who likes it. Because you don't want to tell them, oh, everyone's going to like you if you be yourself. Cause that's not true.
That's
you know?
True, yeah.
But, like, you don't want to be friends with them if they don't like you. There's other people.
Right. Yeah, and one other thing I got from the notebook is surround yourself with people that lift you up, not put you down.
Yeah. Oh, okay. How do I turn it on?
All right.
Ta-da.
That's it.
All right. Ta-da. Say thank you all. All right. All right, so I think, like I said, we can start filing out, and if you would like to buy your book or get it signed, you can head out of the children's room, and the signing table will be right there outside of the entrance. Okay.